Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy!
Today's trigger warnings are graphic violence, murder, dub/non-con, mention of abuse, kidnapping, breath play, degradation, sadomasochism, and explicit sexual content.
And sharks!
Sharks!
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Does It Hurt by H.D. Carlton, and how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it 4 because I love my girl HD.
I also gave it a 4.
I give it a 5.
I knew Jenna was going to, I knew this was a dark book and I said Jenna's going to give it a 5. I already know.
I don't like it as much as Haunting Adeline, but I like it in a different way than that.
I like it more.
Oh, I loved it.
Haunting Adeline was a rough one.
I think I just really like Zaid sometimes. I'm like, Zaddy?
Stick a gun in me.
I'm not a Zaid girl.
Yeah, I don't want that part.
Shoot me. Shoot me in the cervix.
Enzo is way hotter than Zaid to me.
Yeah, I think so too. He's more like normal.
Yeah. Yeah, he's way more normal. Well, yeah.
He's not normal, but he's more
this
normal
like
than Zaid is.
This is like a perfect dark romance book for me because it wasn't, I love a dark romance, but it wasn't too dark. Like it didn't make me want to vomit at times.
Yeah. And he wasn't cringy, I don't think. There were some things where I was like, okay, but I think he is a normal dude going through some shit.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a man.
He's a man.
Love it.
And we have a review, and this one is from Zandelion, and it says, oh, I told my mom and everyone.
Oh, no, you did not.
Great podcast. Feels like I'm hanging out with friends. I love it so much. I got all my coworkers, family, friends, etc. to listen. It's the one podcast that when I say I LOL, I actually mean it. You are all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You guys are so nice.
I'm starting today's episode. We're in our female main character's POV. Her name is Sawyer. She fled America to Australia and she's been there 3 weeks and she does not feel safe still. She's made one friend, which she hasn't had in a very long time, let alone one who knows her real name. His name is Simon and he's an older gentleman she met at the bus stop who gave her her first tattoo. They actually have matching tattoos. Both of them have fuck you.
Oh.
Like little stick and pokes. He gave it to her at the bus stop.
I love that. Cutesy.
Before they part ways, he tells her that he'll see her again soon. A couple days later, she's at a bar getting a drink with her fake ID under the name Jamie Harris. She stole his identity to get to Australia and his credit card limit of $5,000. It's not the first time she's done this. So ever since she's been on the run, she steals men's identities that she sleeps with, but they have to be gender neutral names.
Get them.
Girl power. I support women's rights and I support women's wrongs.
We sure do. Slay.
A very, very hot Italian man walks into the bar and she says, get out of here. Just looking at you is going to knock me up.
His hair is buzzed close to the scalp. Short little spikes that would probably feel incredible against my hands. Hazel eyes with a dark splotch on the right one and deeply tanned skin. A light dusting of hair scattered across his sharp jawline, accentuating the near criminal look he's got going on. Body of a Greek god? Check. Could ruin my life with just the tip? Check. Fuck that man.
He gets a drink and introduces himself as Enzo. And after talking for a couple hours and flirting, he's like, hey, you want to go somewhere cool? And she's like, sure, fuck it. He takes her to a very beautiful waterfall and pool and strips to his swim shorts. She also strips down to her bathing suit. And she's like, I'm probably going to get an infection getting in this water with a brand new tattoo, but fuck it.
We've all done that.
They both swim to the waterfall and underneath is like a little alcove that he takes her to. She tells him what she thought about in the bar, that if he were to fuck her, she would get ruined with just a tip alone. And he's like, why would I fuck you?
I'd be like, get me out of here right now.
She swims to him and braces her hands on his knees. They both agree it's one night only type of thing and they'll never see each other again. So even though he's like, why would I fuck you? He still is like,
I'll fuck you.
He reaches between her thighs and presses down on her clit, and she begs for him to fuck her. He denies her and grabs her waist to lift her up and set her down on the rock. He grabs her bathing suit bottoms and pulls them to the side.
This is happening all so fast. My goodness.
So fucking pretty, he murmurs before placing a slow, soft kiss directly on my clit, glancing up at me as he does. I inhale sharply, disappointed when he retreats.
Why are you retreating? Go back. Get back in there.
He does get back in there, and she grinds on his face as he continues to eat her out, and then he starts to finger her. She squirts all over him, which she has never done before, and he is like, you're going to do that on my dick now.
Oh, so he is going to fuck her.
But they don't have a condom, but they're like, eh, it's a one-time thing only, so fuck it. Again.
What's the worst that could happen?
A lot.
She takes off his swim shorts.
He's not just long, but incredibly thick, with veins threading throughout the length. Absolutely not, I say, shaking my head. No, no way. I change my fucking mind. I point at it. That will puncture a lung.
Oh, God.
If a man takes his pants off and has a dick that scares me, I'm not going to fuck him.
No, I don't think so. But, I mean, she's adventurous.
Go for it.
She is. We'll give her that.
He puts only the tip in and refuses to fuck her. So she's like, you know what? I don't technically need you to fuck me to get off. So she grabs him by the throat, shoves him until he's lying flat on his back, and starts rubbing one off with him, like, barely inside her.
Damn.
He watches her, and when he's distracted, she seats herself fully onto him, and it hurts, but they start fucking like rabbits. He lets her go and tells her to sit up and touch herself until she comes, and he continues to thrust into her.
Oh my God, Enzo, I'm going to come again. I pant. A growl rumbles in the depths of his chest, sending shivers rolling down my spine from its carnality. My name and gods don't belong in the same sentence, Bella, he rasps, his voice as rough as the rock below us. One is holy and the other is depraved. He curls his fingers past my lips with his free hand and hooks them around my bottom teeth, pulling my unfocused stare to his, a snarl on his face. Wait, so he's like fish hooking her?
Gotcha.
He loves the ocean. He loves fish.
My little fish.
She erupts and he pulls out of her so she can again squirt all over his body. And then he puts himself back inside her until he comes. When they finish, he tells her to come home with him. And she's like, I would be more than happy to. So it's not a one and done. They go all night long. And in the morning, she sneaks out of bed. She hates to do this, but she grabs his wallet and takes pictures of his IDs and his credit cards. Then she leaves to find his office, rifling through all of his stuff to take pictures of his social, bank statements, all the stuff that she needs to steal his identity. And then she leaves.
Thorough.
She's very thorough. It's been a week and a half since she's seen him, and she has a new shiny credit card with his name on it. She mentions that she doesn't use all of the money at once. So she's like super smart with how much she uses at a time. So it goes like undetected. Like she'll only do like groceries 1 week and then like little tiny purchases like cigarettes or whatever. Like it's not like a huge purchase all at
once. Smart.
She's just like doing it to survive.
Us poor folk would notice immediately.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
She's walking the beach and gets a text from a man named Garrett. He's a cop who worked with her late brother, and her brother is her twin. He tells her to come clean and turn herself in to do it for Kevin, but she deletes the text and keeps going. We get Enzo's POV. He's at work thinking about Jamie being a thief. He knew something was off when he woke up to her missing, but he could not figure out what it was until he saw a new credit card open in his name that he did not request. The only person who knows is his research partner, and he tells him not to call the cops. He's going to handle it himself. So he starts searching for her. On day two of his search at the beach, he sees her and corners her. He pretends that nothing is off. He's just like, oh my God, hey, fancy running into you. Want to go do something cool? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Not as smart as she thinks. She's like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But she was just thinking about, like, the D is fire. So she's like, I'm going to go again.
I got to go with him and get that dick again.
Yeah.
We're back in Sawyer's POV. She knows it's an incredibly awful idea to be with this man right now. But he takes her onto his boat so that he can show her his research island. So him and his partner have this island off of Australia that's only accessible by boat or helicopter. And they, like, do research on wildlife. He's like a marine biologist, but he focuses on sharks.
Oh, I bet he's fucking stoked during Shark Week.
Oh yeah, that's probably his favorite week.
I don't know which Shark Week you're talking about.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're on their way to the research island, and he tells her that if she can get into a shark cage at the end of the boat, he'll kiss her. They have not kissed one time. He refused to kiss her this whole time. She's uneasy, but she's like, okay, fine. So he stops in the middle of the ocean, and he gets her all set up with her scuba gear and gets the cage set up, and then he chums the water. He has her kneel at the back of the boat and feel the water, and he tells her that she needs to respect the ocean so it respects her back, and then they see a couple of sharks swimming towards them. He's crowding her at the edge of the boat and starting to unbutton her shorts, but she's like, do I focus on the predator in the water or the man behind me right now?
Like, also, I would like to say, would you trust a man on your second day of meeting him to be like, let's go swim with the sharks
in
the
middle of the ocean?
No. Get fucked.
With nobody else?
No.
She asks what he's doing, and he tells her to just take her shorts off. So she does. And then she feels his dick behind her. He pushes inside of her and tells her that he needs it one more time. As he fucks her and she's about to come, he says, how do you do it?
How what? I choke out, his thrust becoming more savage. Tell me how you can fuck me so easily, knowing that you've stolen from me.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. I would piss myself.
Yep. Yeah, me too.
She freezes, and that's when she realizes that he's known this whole time. He tells her that he promised to kiss her since she came with him, and he's no liar. He bites her lip super fucking hard, drawing blood, and when he pulls away, he tells her that he likes seeing her bleed, but something might like it more. And then he pushes her head into the fucking water.
See? This is why, no, I wouldn't go.
She thrashes, and she starts to lose her vision when he pulls her out.
Before I can get another word out, he's forcing me back down again. My eyes snap open, and this time I do see something move beneath the surface. It's blurry, but it's fast, and it's shooting up from the depths of the ocean, aiming straight for me. Enzo moves inside me quicker, and then suddenly, oh my god, he's still in her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still fucking her as he's drowning her.
Yeah. Suddenly pulls out. Just barely do I feel something wet splash onto my back. But I'm far more concerned about the predator seconds away from taking me under.
Yeah.
Just as he pulls her out, seconds later, the shark bursts through the surface trying to bite her. He gets to his feet and walks away, leaving her to hyperventilate while half naked and cum dripping down her back. She promises to pay him back the money that she's taken so far, and he tells her to just stop lying. We learn that she admits that she's on the run, but she doesn't further elaborate. And he's like, so what's your real fucking name then? Have I literally been calling another dude's name while I fuck you? She's like, yes. She tries to give him a false name, but ultimately is like, whatever, Sawyer Bennett, there you go. He lets her go and pulls the anchor. They can see a storm coming in and the waves are starting to get choppy. She starts to laugh and he's like, what's so funny? And she says, you brought me out here to make me think I'm gonna die, but it looks like we're both going to die.
Because he was so like frantic to get her on the boat that he didn't check the weather before they left.
Oh, so there's a huge ass storm. There's like lightning, like thunder.
The sky's like black. They didn't even look up.
He's probably like, oh my fucking god.
Rookie mistake. Rookie.
We're in Enzo's POV. He's scrambling to get the boat to safety, and he cannot help but regret everything that has led them to this point. He tells her to grab onto him once he realizes a giant wave is coming for the boat, and it crashes on top of the boat. He feels them get ripped apart and blackness surrounds him. He forces his eyes open to see the ship belly up and sinking, but he can't find where Sawyer is. When he breaks the surface, he calls for her, but then he's slammed into something hard and everything goes black.
The ocean is scary.
I don't like the ocean.
Mm-mm, me neither.
No.
At all. Sawyer's calling his name and you feel sand against his face. They've washed up on an island and they're pretty worse for wear. Like, they're super cut. Like, she's missing her flip-flops. They're next to a lighthouse and he hopes that there's a radio inside. As they start to walk, he swears he saw movement inside the window of the lighthouse, and she says she thinks someone's there because the beacon got turned off. So it was on and then it just went black. They approach and he has a sense of dread. He knocks and waits a couple minutes before turning the rusted knob. It's unlocked and they step inside. It doesn't look abandoned. It looks pretty lived in, and they confirm that it's not abandoned when an old man with a peg leg starts walking down the steps with a shotgun pointing
out. Of course there's a man with a
peg leg. Why wouldn't there be?
He demands to know why they are here. Enzo quickly explains about the storm wrecking the ship. The old man spots Sawyer cowering behind Enzo and he softens and he says that they can stay here. He introduces himself as Sylvester and there's no radio for them to call the help. Enzo asks how he has all the supplies if there's no radio. He explains the radio quit working a couple weeks ago, but a cargo ship stops by once a month. And Enzo's like, how do you pay for a cargo ship? And when did it last come here? Sylvester tells him that it's none of his business how he pays for it, but the cargo ship came 3 days ago. So they have like a whole month to go. Enzo asks to see the radio. So Sylvester pulls it from his pocket and passes it to him. Enzo pulls the back off and the batteries are still hot, but he just passes it back without saying anything. So he's like, I'm fucking watching you, old man, because you're clearly lying.
Sylvester.
He gives them a first aid kit and some dry clothes, and they fix themselves up as much as possible. They learn that he's been here since 1978, and he names the small island Raven Isle. Sawyer's like kind of stuck on this piece of information, but doesn't know why. It just really stands out to her. We're in Sawyer's POV. After she cleans them up, Sylvester shows them the room that they have to share, and it has one bed.
Oh, no.
For all you one bed tropers out there. Sylvester mentions that he would like them to be in their own room by 9 p.m. every night so he can have time to himself to watch his TV shows. They're kind of like, we haven't had a bedtime since we were kids, but it's your house, your rules, like whatever. He also explains that the bathroom is down the hall, but he doesn't want them sneaking the hallways at night, so he puts a bucket in there for them to go to the bathroom in.
You got me fucked up.
Absolutely not.
If I'm going to shit in a bucket in my room. Well, he's like, just don't go potty after 9 p.m.
And if you have to, there's a bucket.
Sawyer was like, I will literally stick my ass out that window.
Yeah.
They learned the window's nailed shut, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Imagine sticking your ass out of a lighthouse window and just shitting down the lighthouse.
And lighthouses are normally white, so there's just like a brown streak on the side of it.
I'm just picturing like a little turd just falling.
They're also told that they can only come down at 7 a.m. for breakfast, no sooner. He bids them goodnight, and when he shuts the door, he locks it from the outside.
No.
Sawyer feels sick to her stomach, and Enzo is fucking fuming. They argue over the bed until they both take it and fall asleep. She wakes up sometime later and realizes that there's something right outside their door, but she can't place a noise, so she listens for a moment. Chains. Someone is dragging chains down the hallway. We're in Enzo's POV. It's been 2 days at the lighthouse. Sylvester informed them that he didn't have enough food for all of them, so they're fishing with makeshift fishing spears.
This is a nightmare.
Yes. Also sounds kind of fun. Loki.
It's like if you were stranded on an island, what would you bring?
A hot man.
My Kindle.
My Kindle. It has to survive this shipwreck.
I'm just like drowning in the ocean with my Kindle above the water.
He's hoping that his research partner Troy will call the police since he won't be at work today. They argue as they fish and make jabs at each other, and he can see that his jabs are hitting home, and she's like slowly like caging herself off to him, but he's like, I'm not falling for that sad girl act.
He's not gonna let the money go.
No. He also doesn't contribute at this point, so she's catching like all of their fish. He's just sitting there watching her like insulting her.
Okay, like at this point I get she fucked up, but like,
come on.
His thing is like, he can't stand liars.
Yeah.
When they get back inside, Sylvester's impressed that she caught these fish by herself, but he like creepily checks her out, and then he turns his attention to Enzo and is like, you can cook your own fish. Enzo's like, I actually don't eat fish because I'm in ocean conservation, but I'll do my best. And Sylvester's like, oh, you'll like it here. We get sharks on the beach all the time. And Enzo's like, we? Is there someone else here? Because I could have sworn we heard someone last night. And Sylvester's like, those are the ghosts of the freight ship who crashed near here. So he goes into this long story about the freight ship that crashed was carrying criminals. He gave refuge to a couple who survived, but they tried to rob him and take his home. And so he had to kill them. So now it's like haunted.
So they're just living with a murderer.
Yeah.
And some ghosts.
Enzo doesn't believe him about the whole criminal like trying to take over thing, but he doesn't voice it. He's watching Sylvester very closely. We get to Sawyer's POV. When they get to their room that night, Enzo voices that he really mistrusts Sylvester, and she's like, yeah, I do too, but what the fuck are we gonna do? We can't leave. We're here. He's giving us a place to live.
Yeah, what can you do?
But before they get locked in for the night, Enzo decides that he's gonna go check out the old man's room, and she's like, I wouldn't do that, but she follows him to make sure like Sylvester doesn't come up the stairs. They snoop around, and she finds photos of Sylvester and possibly his wife and two daughters, but before they can look further into it, they hear him coming up the stairs and hide in the closet. Sylvester comes into his room and sits on his bed to take a nap, and Enzo pulls her into him. her back hitting his chest as Sylvester starts to snore.
His hand curls around my hip and I jump in response. My eyes dart to where he's touching me, his palm flattening against my stomach as he glides it along the edge of my jean shorts. I fixate on his hand as he pops open the button of my cutoffs and slowly slides down the zipper.
They're in the closet!
Yeah. What are you doing? I whisper. Shh. He hushes. I don't want to hear your words. Then what do you want to hear? His tongue darts out, licking along the side of my ear and eliciting a bone-deep chill down my spine. I want to hear what it sounds like when you're breaking and can't scream.
Hot. I'd be like, what does that mean?
He starts to rub her clit before he moves down to finger her. She's being as quiet as she can. He continues to finger her and then he moves his hand to her neck, cutting off her air supply.
She's like claustrophobic and he's like choking
her. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Gives her something else to focus on. That's true. You really can't breathe? Try now.
Does it hurt, baby? He asks quietly, not being able to scream for me like you want to. This little cunt is so fucking wet, he continues, his accent deepening with desire. What is it? This little cunt is so wet.
Gabagool.
With my breathing silence, the only thing that can be heard above the rough timber of his voice is his fingers pumping into my soaking pussy. Do you hear how pretty it sings for me? Why don't you sing me a lullaby, Bella? Let me hear it.
What?
She's like, rock.
Also, when you said, what does he like sound like? And you did your Italian accent. I pictured him sounding like, I don't know if you guys follow them on Instagram or whatever, but Carlo and Sarah. Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. Oh, they're such a cute couple.
Oh, is that the one where she like always makes him shitty Italian food and he gets really upset?
Yeah. And he tries to like do like American terms. Like he asked her what a tea bag was one time and she's like started busting up laughing because she's had to then explain what a tea bag was. And he's just like appalled. But like his Italian accent's like super thick.
I was picturing like Mario and Luigi.
Yahoo! No! She can't take it anymore when he bites her neck and she comes. Once she's finished, he tells her that she's too easy to break. She carefully opens the closet door to get away from Enzo and leaves the lighthouse. As she's outside exploring the island, she finds a cave. She follows the tunnel down until she hits a blue pool with stalagmites, black glittering rocks, and blue glowworms. She found her safe haven on the island. Later that night, they both can't sleep and they toss and turn. Enzo locks eyes with something outside the window. When Sawyer looks, it's a girl standing in the ocean with a thin white dress covering her thin, frail body. They're both shocked and she starts to scream for the girl and pounds on the window. But Sylvester breaks in to demand what is going on. When she tries to explain, he looks out the window and is like, no one's there. She's confused and when she looks,
what the fuck? No one's there.
What? After a few days, Enzo notices that Sawyer is gone for most of the day but seems to be getting more pale and it's not adding up. Because he's like, if you're gone most of the day, then you're out in the sun but you're not getting tan. So what the hell? Where are you going? She's going to the cave.
I wouldn't even notice that.
He's suspicious. He's watching her at all times. After she leaves one morning, he decides to find out what she's doing. He searches the island but doesn't find her, and then he sees the entrance to the cave. He walks inside and finds her, and she immediately tells him to get out because this is her safe space and he's making it feel unsafe. He looks around and sees a bunch of glowworms hanging from the ceiling and is like, you know what those are, right? And she says, no. And he's like, they're literally worms. Hopefully one doesn't fall on your head. And he starts explaining that the glow from the glowworms is like their secretions.
Ew.
Yeah. So she's like, ew. He tells her his extensive knowledge on the species and she's like, did you come here to hurt me? And he says, yes. And she's like, are you going to fuck me? And he says he'll never fuck her again, even after she begs him for his cock.
Oh my God.
She says she'd never beg for it. And he walks up behind her and grabs her face by the jaw, hard enough to make a tear fall down her cheek. He says all he'd need to do is kiss her to have her beg and forces her to stick her fingers inside of herself and show him her arousal. She's humiliated and he says, look, you glow too, and walks out of the cave planning to jerk off thinking about her tears. She walks back to the lighthouse, furious a while later, and Sylvester's in the living room and gives her a creepy smile. She notices that he has rotting teeth and she really gets the creeps from him. And he's like obsessed with trying to be as close to her as possible. So if she's in the room, he's like right next to her, finding little reasons to touch her and he's always talking to her. But she tries to play nice. He's like, you look tense. And he tries to give her a massage.
Ew.
Yeah. And before she can even try to wiggle out of his grip, Enzo walks out and is like, take your hands off of her or I will
do it for you.
Yeah.
A few hours later, Sylvester walks into her room without knocking to apologize. And she says it's fine, but maybe everyone should just keep their hands to themselves. And he's like, does that apply for your friend too? Pretty thing like you walking around in your skimpy clothes is kind of asking for attention. And she says, a bathing suit does not negate consent. And Enzo walks in. Sylvester says, you've had a rough day. It's a 7 p.m. bedtime tonight, and locks them both in 2 hours early.
Sir, they were in a shipwreck. She has no other clothes.
No, but he's like, you little slut in your bathing suit on the beach.
How dare you?
Sawyer tells Enzo how Sylvester apologized, but also gave a snide comment about the way she dresses. And Enzo says he's the only one allowed to touch her, and he'll kill Sylvester if he does it again. And Sawyer's like, you have some nerve. Like, she's like, you are such a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Because he's assaulted her before, and he's like, this man better not touch you. She can't sleep at all that night, and she stays up reading a book that she found in the room about the history of Raven Isle. She finds a page about the beacon of the lighthouse that guides boats to the island and dog-ears it, but when Enzo wakes up in the morning, he immediately notices what she's reading and is like, why are you looking into the beacon? She doesn't want to tell him, so she tries to seduce him to distract him from his question, but he tells her he will never fuck her because she's not good enough and he hates her.
All right, Enzo.
I would cry.
You guys are stranded on an island now. Relax.
Yeah, fuck each other.
Just fuck each other all night long.
They're distracted by the sound of chains running against the floor upstairs, and she finally caves and says she thinks if she can find out how to get to the beacon, there might be an extra radio up there. They continue to hear the chains above them and then frantic pounding like someone is punching the floor above them.
Terrifying.
I would shit myself.
Yeah.
I would better utilize bucket. That bucket.
They run out of the room and out of the lighthouse, and Sylvester is out on the beach asking what the hell is going on, and they say they heard pounding upstairs, and Sawyer sinks to her knees saying she's having a heart attack and to call the water police.
The water police?
Yeah.
Can't breathe. Call water police.
And every time she says something like that, Enzo just like rolls his eyes
at
her.
Yeah, he's like mad that she says stupid shit like that. I love it.
Because he's like mad that he like thinks that she's so cute. Like, he's like more mad at himself.
Uh-huh. And she's very funny. She's a funny girl.
Mm-hmm. She's a really funny main character.
That night, Sawyer's woken up from a wet dream about Enzo by him smacking her awake in his sleep. She goes to smack him back, but he gets on top of her, choking her out while still snoozing. So he's like attacking her in his sleep.
Yeah.
She struggles against him until he finally wakes up, and he's like, what the fuck? And she says she was having a nice dream and he ruined it. And he's like, a dream about what? She tells him she was about to get to the coitus in her dream. And he's like, was it about me? And she's like, nope.
Arousal is rebuilding between my thighs, and I'm transported back to that place of needing. Something that I should never have had to begin with. I never should have touched Enzo Vitali. What was I doing to you? Nothing, I stutter. You woke me up, remember? That's another lie, Sawyer. I can smell your pussy from here. That's not nothing. A whimper whittles out of my throat, despite my desperate attempts to swallow it down. I don't know what to say to that. It's much easier to just spread my legs and let him have his way.
Spread him, Bailey.
The moment is ruined by the sound of chains, but Enzo doesn't care and continues grilling her about her dream, and she's like, you were about to fuck me. He asks if she was naked, and she says yes, and then he slides off her bathing suit bottoms and spreads her legs and pins her arms above her head, asking where he was touching her. Sawyer says that he was sucking her nipples, so he does just that.
You said, let me taste you, Bella. My pussy was dripping wet, just as it is now, and you were nearly drooling just to get a taste. A growl forms deep in his chest, and he sits up, releasing his grip on my wrists.
He wants her.
No, he doesn't. He hates her.
He hates her.
He tells her she's not allowed to touch him back, and he settles between her thighs, saying, let me taste you, Bella, and begins licking her, and she's already about to come. He asks how it feels to be eaten alive, and she says she'd rather be fucked to death. He pulls down his shorts, and his dick springs free. She looks at him and asks why he gets to be God's favorite, and he's like, you can ask him when I take you to see him.
Jesus Christ.
I loved that part. I was like,
yeah.
I bite my lip, but a gasp breaks through when he grabs my hips, lifting them to the height of his own, and then lines his cock to my entrance with only my upper back on the bed. He keeps me there suspended, so close to feeling complete again. Let me take you to him, Bella. Fuck yes. Fill me up. He drives inside before I can finish, a sharp cry replacing my plea. He pauses, giving me time to adjust to his size. It's unnatural, the way he fills me so completely.
Oh, that lifting her up.
I'm surprised he was even nice enough to like give her a second to adjust since he hates her so much.
They usually always just slam into him.
Enzo tells her to be quiet so Sylvester doesn't hear, and she begs him to let her touch him and grabs onto his shoulders.
My mouth opens on a silent scream, my back bowing until I'm practically balancing on my head as he fucks me. I'm clawing at his arms while the sharp sound of skin slapping arises. Oh God, I cry, trying to keep my voice down but failing miserably. Can you see him, baby? Ask him for forgiveness. Why? I pant, another high-pitched moan, nearly swallowing the word. Because you worship me now.
Okay. She's so close and begins to touch herself, but he tells her she doesn't come until he tells her that she can.
One hand releases my hip, moving to where he drives inside me. I feel pressure, and then his finger is slipping inside my pussy above his cock, stretching me further. An unnatural sound leaks from my throat, the foreign sensation shocking. I've never in my life had a man fuck me with his dick and finger at the same time. Oh my God, that, wait, fuck, Enzo. I stutter, the entirety of my body beginning to vibrate. My bladder feels like it's on the verge of releasing, and though I know exactly what he's going to make me do, I feel out of control over my bodily functions. You're going to come for me, Bella, and you're going to fucking paint me in it. If I'm not covered, then I will make you do it again until there's nothing left of you.
Whoa. Hey.
She comes hard and he pulls out of her, slapping her right on the pussy, and then slams back into her, coming inside of her. She goes back to get her shirt to wipe the squirt off of him, but he slaps her hand away and she says don't. He's shutting down again and wants nothing to do with her, and the chains upstairs start again.
Do you think that the ghost was just like on the floor, like her ear was like,
what are you doing down there? Fun.
I would be so scared that that sick old fuck would hear and be like right outside the door.
Probably.
Wait, Enzo. Enzo would protect her. The next day, Enzo is outside watching some sharks in the water, and Sylvester comes up and tells him there's a storm coming, so they should probably hunker down soon, and gives him a slap on the shoulder. Enzo tells him not to fucking touch him or Sawyer ever again, and Sylvester just looks angry and walks away. Sawyer walks up behind him and tries to apologize for everything, but he tells her not to apologize until she means it, and she starts to cry, and he tells her she's so pretty when she cries. He's spiraling internally about fucking her last night when he told himself he'd never touch her again. He tells her last night was a mistake and he'll never believe a word she says. And she tells him she didn't want to do what she did, but she had to. And she's crying and he asks her why she did it then and she won't answer. They walk back to the lighthouse and Sylvester tells them they can stay up late tonight and have a drink with him because he doesn't like storms. Sawyer asks him about his family while they all sit together, and Sylvester tells them that he had a wife that didn't like living out here, so she left without saying goodbye after 30 years. And Sawyer's like, that sucks. Like, she's like, I don't know what to say.
She's like, I probably wouldn't want to live here either.
She asks about Enzo's family, and he tells her that he hates liars because his mother was one. She abandoned him at 9 years old. And then he asks about her. She tells him about her twin brother, Kev, who her parents favored. But when they got older, Kev started isolating her and then began sexually abusing her. And then he became a cop and his buddies were protecting him.
Ew.
She went to her parents and told them that it started happening, and they didn't believe her and they got mad at her for it. And then when it continued, after her parents died, they were living together and he would abuse the shit out of her and then use his cop friends to protect him. So he would never get in trouble for it.
Because he was like always the golden child. He could do no wrong, so no one believed that he was ever malicious in any intent.
They're like, Sawyer, quit making up stories about your golden brother.
Yeah. She says that's why she was running, and Sylvester grabs her hand and says she can stay here where nobody will find her. She stands up, drunk from slamming drinks, before telling her story, and Enzo grabs her and carries her to bed, fuming about the way Sylvester is looking at her and what her brother did to her.
Yeah, be nicer then.
In the room, Enzo tells her to let her brother find her so he can kill him, himself, for daring to touch what belongs to him, because they were always destined to be together. Which I was like, damn, flipping a switch.
Yeah, I hate you, but we're destined.
The storm rages outside and he puts her in bed, and she says maybe she'll stay here after all, and passes out. Because all she's wanted to do is just disappear from the world. And this is kind of like the perfect opportunity to do that. So she's like thinking about maybe staying here.
She's actually considering staying with this fucking old weirdo.
Because she's like, I've handled worse. I could handle an old man with a peg leg.
Yeah, kick him over.
I just have to run.
Take his leg, hide it. She wakes up to the sound of crying upstairs, and she wakes Enzo up, but the sound is gone. He brings up her brother again and says that he will kill him, because if anyone is going to hurt her, it's going to be Enzo, and tells her to take him to Kev, but she shakes her head no.
That's so toxic.
The next morning, as soon as Sylvester unlocks the door, she books it for the cave. She decides to explore the back of it to see where some of the tunnels lead, but when she gets to more of the unfamiliar parts of it, she trips on the rocks and knocks herself out. Meanwhile, Enzo is at the lighthouse with Sylvester and tells him they heard a woman crying last night and asks if any women died here, and Sylvester says yes, his daughter Trinity. That was part of the reason his wife left. Enzo asked how it happened, and Sylvester tells him that when Trinity was 16, she wanted to leave and everything turned tumultuous, so she hung herself out the window, which I believe is the same window that's nailed shut in their room. And he says 2 days later, his wife left with a 14-year-old Casey, who was his second daughter, and he's been alone ever since. Now Enzo is scared for Sawyer's fate if she decides to stay here and gets the urge to go find her. He runs to the cave and calls her name when he doesn't see her and runs through the cave until he sees her unconscious on the ground. He wakes her up and carries her back to the lighthouse, and he tells her she has a concussion and needs to rest, and she's like, okay, then we're even now. I saved your life, you saved mine. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then she tells him that she swam both of them here after the wreck.
Holy shit.
So she literally saved his life.
Yeah, he did not know that.
He doesn't know what to say, so he just helps her shower. He commands her to undress, and she's trying really hard not to be aroused. She tries to wash her hair, but he insists on doing it since she has a head wound that she can't see. As he washes the blood out of her hair, he asks to hear about what happened after the shipwreck, so she tells him, and he asks why she didn't just leave him and save herself. But she doesn't know, and he tells her she's stronger than he gave her credit for. She's starting to feel horny and ballsy and begins to wash her body all seductively, which quickly just turns into her masturbating.
He said, I'm not fucking you.
She said, I'll fuck myself. He tells her he wants to see her come, but she's like, my head hurts and I'm not really in the mood. And I just put a question mark because, like, girl, you are literally hella soaked.
Yeah, you're in the mood. You just said it.
Enzo storms out of the bathroom. And when she goes back to the room, he tells her not to lie to him anymore. So she says she wants him to touch her, but he says no.
I can't keep up.
It's because she lied.
He's like, I don't fuck liars.
So when he says no, he's like, you're going to show me exactly how you like to be touched, and asks if she wants to see him show her how he likes to be touched too. And she says yes.
Enzo lifts on his knees just enough to slip the shorts down his ass, maneuvering until they fall away completely. The second his cock is freed, I can't look away. So fucking beautiful. So fucking lethal. Long and thick, with veins roping throughout the heart and flesh. Flashbacks of that first night we spent together bombard me. And even now, I can't remember the feel of him driving inside me. How he used his dick and fingers with so much precision that he made me physically squirt too many times to count. Something I've never been able to make myself do. Yet I implied I could touch myself better, when in reality no one has ever touched me the way Enzo does.
That's a lot of squirting.
She's a little gushing geyser.
Yeah.
They come together as she tells him she doesn't actually hate him, but when they come down from their orgasms, he shuts down again. The next day, Sawyer goes out to the beach to be alone, but Enzo finds her and he opens up to her a little bit. He tells her that he doesn't want to see her hurt by anyone but him, and he will help her heal, but he's also going to make her bleed.
What's wrong with you, sir?
He tells her he doesn't hate her and asks her to choose him. He lays her down in the sand and she gets on top of him and she takes his shirt off. She tells him to pull her panties to the side, so he does, and she pulls his dick out.
He dips his chin, leaning back just enough to give room for spit to stream from his mouth and directly onto the head of his cock. I spread the wetness across his tip. I don't waste any more time sliding the tip through my wet slit, earning another hiss before I seat myself on him. Tension fills his muscles like air in a balloon, yet my body seems to go boneless. I can't fit him inside me easily, but I welcome the pain. Does it hurt? He rasps, knowing how fucking abrasive he is.
That's the name of the book.
Does it hurt? He says that a lot.
Yeah, I love it.
She says, not enough, and he says he can make it hurt. She's riding him as he's sucking on her nipple, and she calls him a good boy, which, like, pisses him off. So he chomps down and takes charge, fucking her hard and fast with a hand in her hair, and she comes as he fish hooks her.
The fish hook.
He's a fisherman.
He is.
He's a man of the ocean. She bites his finger and says if he wanted her to smile, he could have just asked. He flips her around so she's reverse cowgirl and double fish hooks her.
I gotcha.
So he's like making her smile.
She's coming and drooling and he tells her to touch her clit.
That's it. You love being a good girl for me, don't you, baby? He drawls. Just like you love coming all over my cock like a desperate little slut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm blushing.
Just as she's coming down from her orgasm, she spins around and grabs him by the throat.
His hazel eyes are wide as I position myself between his spread legs, grabbing his drenched cock in my hands and peeking up at him through my lashes. You were so close to coming, and I denied you, didn't I? Anger flashes across his eyes, and the corner of my lips curl upward. Does it hurt, baby? He snaps toward me, but I'm faster, wrapping my mouth around the tip of his cock and sucking harshly, tasting myself on him as I do. His fingers plunge through my curls, fisting them tightly, and I plant my hands on his hips, denying him control. Fuck, Sawyer. Keep testing me. Your smile is only pretty because of those teeth. I'd hate to see them missing.
He's like, I'm gonna knock your ass out, bitch.
I will punch you right in the fucking mouth.
His threat widens my grin, and I look up at him with wide, innocent eyes. I'm a desperate little slut and want to feel you come down my throat. I'm staring into two pits of golden molten lava as he tightens his hand in my hair, keeping me immobile as he roughly grabs his dick and slides the tip across my lips. Good sluts ask nicely, he murmurs, biting his lip when I stick out my tongue, prompting him to slap his cock on it.
Oh, hot.
She lets him come down her throat and keeps going until he pushes her off. She tells him she wants to live for herself and not anyone else and leaves him alone on the beach. So she's hot and cold now. Later on, he's drinking with Sylvester, who tells Enzo that girls like Sawyer don't want to be kept and asks if he's upset that Sawyer might actually choose to stay with him at the lighthouse instead. Enzo is pissed and just walks away. Back in the room, Sawyer tells him that she saw a boat the other day and thinks boats are coming by more often than Sylvester says. She also says she's thinking about staying at the lighthouse so she doesn't wind up in prison or back to stealing. She says she's used to living with a creep and knows how to handle them. And he says no, she's coming with him and he'll protect her from everything because he feels so strongly for her. He starts kissing her and she's like, is that what you want? And he says yes. He apologizes for what he did to her on the boat with the sharks, which I feel warrants an apology.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Stealing money's bad, but
that was extreme.
Feeding me to the sharks is a little much. She tells him to get on his knees and beg for forgiveness. So he does. He tells her she's strong and brave and admirable. And she says she won't forgive him until he kisses her favorite toe. And she goes on and on about her favorite toe.
It's her pinky toe.
It's her pinky toe. It's very cute.
Oh, it's my least favorite. Curls in.
She's got a real cute one, apparently.
He does kiss her favorite toe, and then he kisses all of the rest of them. She calls him a good boy again, and he's rock hard. She tells him he can stand up, they're going to bed, and then tomorrow they'll look for the beacon so they can both leave. But first she needs water and medicine for her head, because she fully has a concussion.
Yeah, still. Lay down. I'll get the water and some medicine, I order her. My voice raspy with carnal need. I give her another once-over. Maybe find some pants while I'm gone. I can smell your pussy from here.
Why does he keep saying that?
He can smell her pussy.
He always says in the book that her pussy smells so good and so sweet to him. So I think that it's not like, oh, I can smell your pussy from here. But like, oh, you smell so good,
I can
baby.
Smell
like,
your
I can
pussy.
Smell your pussy from here.
I don't want anyone to ever say that they can smell my pussy.
Yeah, that's so true.
In real life, no. Absolutely not.
Mm-mm,
a no. Book, whatever.
I'd be like, I'm going to go take a shower. I would run to the shower.
If he was like, hey, I can smell your pussy from here, I'd be like, oh my God.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm going to go to urgent care.
I'll make an appointment first thing in the morning. They hear the crying all night, and the next day they decide to search the lighthouse for ways to get to the beacon. And every time Sylvester sees Sawyer without Enzo, he's talking to her like her staying with him is a done deal. She decides the best plan is to hang with Sylvester and make him happy while Enzo sneaks around to look for the door to the stairs that lead to the beacon, even though Enzo's deeply uncomfortable with her being alone with the creepy old man. She tells him about the ghosts being loud last night, and he pats her knee and tells her not to worry about them. They're just restless. She gets shivers running up her spine from him touching her, but he tells her to relax. He won't hurt her.
Disgusting.
He formally asks her to move in, but she says no. She has stuff to deal with at home, and he's like, no, it's best you stay here, and goes to stand up like it's a done deal. And she says no, she's leaving, and then he says he'll go to the authorities and report her if she tries to leave. She asks why he'd do that, and he says he can give her a good life here. He wants her to stay. She says no again, and he slaps her in the face and says that'll be the last time she disrespects him in his own home. She's laying on the ground with a busted lip, and Enzo charges down the stairs, but Sylvester grabs a shotgun and points it right at Enzo. The chains start upstairs, and Sylvester tells Sawyer she made the ghosts angry. And Sawyer is like, I made the ghosts angry. You made the ghosts angry.
Yeah. She's like, I didn't do anything.
He tells Sawyer to go get in his room, and she mouths cave to Enzo
and takes off running. Sylvester tries to go after her, but she's too fast. And he has a peg leg. So,
yeah.
And they're giving this man like a lot of leeway with his peg leg. Just trip him.
Take his fucking leg out.
Just knock it out.
And she books it for the cave, hoping that Sylvester can't find her there.
Sylvester locks Enzo into his room, and Enzo is like trying to break out of his room. And as Enzo's trying to break down the door, Sylvester unlocks it and tells Enzo to go. He goes down the stairs and he jumps over the railing and he like pops up and is able to get the gun from Sylvester. There's a place in the living room where the coffee table and the rug used to be that's now moved over, and there's like a cellar door that's popped open, and he knows that that's where Sylvester planned on keeping him. So now that Enzo has the gun, he's making Sylvester get in that hole.
Yeah.
How terrifying.
The hole's about 20 feet deep, and he literally just kicks Sylvester in there. Like, Sylvester was like trying to get in there slowly, and he just fucking kicks him in there.
Get down there with your peg leg, bitch.
Sylvester never said if Sawyer was hurt or not when Enzo asked, so he's not even giving him a chance. He literally just kicks him in there, locks it shut. It's just like a little slider lock. It doesn't have like a deadbolt or anything. And he's like, I gotta go get my girl. He gets to the cave where Sawyer is, and she's thankfully safe, but as he's doing his ones over, he sees that she has a swollen eye and a bleeding lip, and his blood is boiling. He gives her a tender kiss on her boo-boo eye, and he says, don't worry, baby, I'm gonna end him, and I'll let you watch.
Boo-boo eye.
Her boo-boo eye.
Boo eye. That's so sweet.
Sawyer wants to sleep in the cave tonight because she can't stand to be in the lighthouse for another night. And Daddy Enzo says, whatever you want, Bella. They've decided that tomorrow morning they're going to start looking for the beacon. And Enzo was like, I will get the answer out of him. They try to like awkwardly cuddle. And it's cute though, because he's trying. Like, he obviously is not a cuddler. He confesses his love for her in Italian, but she doesn't understand a fucking lick of Italian. So she's just staring at him, like smiling and nodding as if she understands everything. But it's really cute. And he just confesses his dying love for her.
Romantic.
But during this little confession, she's stripping for him, and now he's fingering her pussy and she's dripping wet, and she's begging him to fuck her while he pulls his fingers in and out of her. She's like, you're just torturing me, aren't you? You're supposed to be begging for my forgiveness. He picks her up and he carries her over to the little pool that's in the cave, and at first she starts panicking and she's like, what are you doing? You've already traumatized me once with the water. Please don't do this to me again.
He's like, getcha.
He tells her that he's not going to hurt her, and that he's going to replace one bad memory with something really good, that she's going to come harder than she ever has before. She agrees, and he tells her to bend over so that her nose is within 1 inch from the water and that her ass is high in the air.
Fuck, you smell so good. I groaned before diving my tongue inside her tight hole. Is this her vagina or her butthole?
Her vagina.
Boo.
Boo. He's like, your asshole smells so good.
I don't know why I would think that. Smells like poopy.
Ew. Sawyer moans loudly, the sound echoing throughout the cave as I begin to eat her cunt with vigor.
Wow.
He's lapping her up and she's loving it. And just as she's about to come, he pushes her up, and before she can curse him out, he's plunging two fingers inside of her, and he tells her now it's her time for revenge. Since he's drowned her once, it's her turn to drown him. He's hitting her G-spot so good, and she knows that she's about to have an earth-shattering orgasm.
She goes silent for two heartbeats and then erupts. A loud scream pierces the air, and her entire body begins to seize. The moment I retract my fingers, her release is pouring onto me. Quickly, I hook both arms around each thigh and force her back down on my face, opening my mouth wide and drinking from her like a man who's been lost at sea for months.
This part of the book had me wild. I was like, he did not.
I texted Charlotte and I was like, he just got waterboarded by her squirting?
Yeah.
He's literally waterboarding himself. Oh my
God. Is it pee-pee? The debate is still up.
It's a little mixture, and he's here for it. So he has her back in the doggy position now, and her nose is down by the water again, and he starts fucking her.
You can take it, I assure. Can you feel how tightly your pussy clings to me, like it never wants to let me go? How deep you think you can take me before you're begging for me to stop?
Woof, woof, woof.
He hits her cervix, and she's like, yep, that's my limit.
Oh.
Yeah, that would fucking hurt.
Oh my God.
I can't even.
Yeah. It's just trying to break through.
He's like trying to hit her limit.
Give me that womb.
And then he hits her fucking cervix.
Oh my God. Ow.
So he hits her cervix, and then she's like, yep, that's my limit. And he says, let me take you to a new limit. And then he pushes her head underwater, and she's literally thrashing while he's strumming her clit.
Stop trying to drown me.
I love this shit.
He said, I'm a marine biologist. I love the water.
He brought her back up and he knew that she was enjoying it. Like, he could just tell she wasn't, like, obviously hating it. So he praised her and he did it again. This time he could see more air bubbles when she went underwater, so he knew that she had less oxygen, but he wanted to fuck her while she felt like she was dying. While she's in the water, it was super, super intense, and then she fucking explodes. He also has a mind-blowing orgasm himself, and he's literally filling her pussy with so much cum that it's seeping outside of her, and then he takes his finger and scoops it up and shoves it back in her, and he claims her pussy and says, "This is mine."
Yeah, it is. This is your puss.
He takes his cummy fingers and he spreads his cum up her ass.
Cummy fingers? Yeah. I'm sorry.
That was disgusting, Jenna.
He takes his thumb and puts it inside of her.
In their little bum hole?
Tight ring of muscle.
In her sphincter.
Her darkest secret. He says there's two caves now.
Ow!
Puckered rosebud.
Ew.
Cute little butt star.
Pleated flower.
A star.
Cute little butt star.
I love it.
Oh, I love that.
My shining star, my cute little butt star.
He tells her now she can have his name. He wants to keep her and he will keep her. She tells him that she forgives him now. And he tells her that he will never stop asking for her forgiveness and he will never stop worshiping her. She's got the power of the puss.
How the turntables.
Truly.
Yeah.
They wake up in the morning and they find out that Sylvester is gone. Uh-oh. The lock on the cellar was unlatched, but regardless, they want to find that fucking beacon. And they need to contact someone to come get them. Sylvester knows this island better than anyone else. They move around the house together and they can't find him anywhere in the house. So they come up with a plan to board the windows and the doors so he can't get in case he's outside. But Sawyer's worried that maybe he's in the house somewhere with them. Sawyer's woken up from her dream and there's angry knocking on the bedroom door. Enzo nailed a 2x4 across it for their protection at night because usually Sylvester like locks them in case Sylvester's still in the house, but it feels like this 2x4 is hardly holding up the ghost at the moment. She's like, what is that? And it's like the ghost heard her and it got quiet and then it was like whatever it is on the other side of the door put their whole body into it and started like kicking it down, knocking it, pounding on the door.
What if it's a real person being held captive?
You'll find out what it is. Enzo opens the door and they find claw marks and splintered wood from the so-called spirit trying to get in the door. And Enzo's kind of pissed off because he's like, no spirit can do that. Whatever the fuck that was not a spirit. They get downstairs and they make some breakfast for themselves and drink coffee. And Sawyer notices that the steak knife that she used yesterday that was on the kitchen table is no longer there either.
They also talk about how Sylvester was telling them that he didn't have very much food, but he actually has like a shit ton of food and he has a lot of protein drinks too.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like a stockpile of Ensure protein drinks that you give fucking old people. But he was rationing, like, you only get this much. You
he was making them much. Fish.
Fish for yourself.
Yeah. The fuck? What is this old man up to?
You'll see. I want to know.
They spent the whole day trying to find a door for the beacon, and they didn't find anything. And Enzo was in a hella fucking mean mood this morning. Like, the day before, he was all lovey-dovey. And today, he was so fucking mean to Sawyer. Like, he made her soup, put the bowl down, and it splashed the hot water all over her. She was like, I'm not even hungry anymore. She went to go back upstairs, and he grabbed her by the hair and, like, threw her down. Like, he is being fucking mean. She, like, is thinking, like, what did I do to deserve this? What's going on? And he tells her that he can't stand to look at her. Not because he doesn't like what he sees, but because he fucking hates how she makes him feel. And she doesn't understand what happened today. And he said that he wouldn't be cruel to her anymore. And then he reaches in his back pocket and produces the credit card that she had in his name. And he said that he found it when he was changing the bed sheets because she put it under the mattress.
It was the only thing that survived the fucking shipwreck.
Because she had it in her pocket. She gives him the honest truth, though, saying that it was in her pocket when they shipwrecked and that she just hasn't gotten rid of it yet and that she didn't intend on ever using it again, and she genuinely is so sorry. And she understands that no one is to blame but herself, which means that she needs to tell him the complete truth about Kev. And of course, before she could tell him a mysterious full truth, he tells her that he forgives her for stealing his identity and they passionately make out. And then he throws her on the kitchen table and eats her out.
He's so fucking hot and cold.
He's complet. He hits her with the here kid kitty combo, you know, the whole like, here kitty kitty, when he's like fingering her, and she comes and squirts all over his face.
You know, I learn something new every time we record a podcast episode.
What did you learn?
Today's the here kitty kitty combo? I've never heard that.
Oh. Well, now you know.
Usually it's Charlotte teaching me a new word.
How do you keep making me do that? I pant. He's not the first man to go down on me and bring me to orgasm, but I feel like fucking Pavlov's dog, and somehow he's managed to train my pussy to drool for him on command.
That's accurate. She do be squirting.
She do be.
Yeah, she do. She wants to show him everything she doesn't say. She realized that he's been listening all along. She enforces the Gluck Gluck 3000, zero gag reflex, full eye contact the whole time.
Zero gag reflex? On his giant dick?
And full eye contact the whole time.
She says it a couple times.
Can he hear me tell him that he is the first man I could pleasure without feeling sick? Can he hear that with him, inviting a man into my body feels like a choice and not a means to survive? Does he hear me thanking him for making me feel less broken? He must, because he fists my curls and forces my head back and yanks me up toward him to capture my lips in a savage kiss. When he pulls back, I reach for his cock again. I wasn't done. I want to keep pleasing him, but he evades me. I choose where to make you whole.
So he tells her in Italian to show him how to love her. She comes hard and he's still going.
I cling to him, but he's grabbing my wrists and forcing them above my head. My back arches as wave after wave continues to roll through me. I can't take anymore, but he doesn't relent, strumming my clit until the wave rolls back, just for another orgasm to crash into me. There's a scream piercing the air, but it's swallowed by Enzo's lips. He moves his hand out from between us and grabs a hold of my hip. Then he's stilling, a savage growl reverberating through my throat as he reaches his own decimation. His grip on my wrists and hip turn bruising, but I hardly notice as he mindlessly slams into me, spilling inside me as he does.
Goddamn. Their frickin' was so powerful, it broke the kitchen table and brought out a laugh from both of them. It enthralled Sawyer. It was so beautiful. She's never heard him laugh before. He tells her that he loves her. She says that she's never been happier, responding that she loves him too. He smiles and she remembers that she hasn't really earned his forgiveness yet, not until he knows everything. And he could tell there was like a change in her demeanor. And he asks what's wrong and she told him that she killed Kev, her twin.
Good.
That's why the cops are after her. Not because she was stealing people's identities. It was because she killed a police officer. She killed her twin brother. Enzo wasn't even mad at the whole situation. The first thought that he had was like, how the fuck am I going to save her? He wants to tell her that the only thing that he's angry about is that he wanted to see the life dream from Kevin's eyes too. She told him that she knew Australia would turn her into U.S. authorities if she got caught, that her original plan was to go to Indonesia, but when she was at the airport, she saw someone there that knew her, so she had to get the next flight out, which was Australia. They decide to head downstairs, and Sawyer was like, do you see that? And Enzo follows her gaze, and it's at the bookshelf that they have in the living room, and one of the books on it looks shifted, not to the side, but it's like at an angle, as if it was like a door. Sawyer grabs the flashlights from the kitchen, and Enzo tugs on the crooked bookshelf, and it creaks opening up to a spiral staircase. It's the beacon. So they finally found it.
Yeah!
The beacon definitely works. It's proof that Sylvester was lying to them the entire time. But as Sawyer was trying to fiddle with it, she was hearing chains and they realized that whatever prompted them to find it did it on purpose. The chain stopped for a second where there's like a ladder. It's a set of feminine feet with metal chains around them. It's a girl with a super thin white dress with long blonde hair covering her face. And Sawyer says that it's the girl that they must have seen in the ocean. But she's like, none of this makes sense.
It doesn't.
The girl's head lifts up and where her mouth is, it's literally sewn shut.
Holy shit.
Like it's like rotten and necrotic.
I felt so bad when she said that. I was like, oh my God.
Is it a girl or a woman?
It's a woman.
What I also don't get is like, how can her mouth be sewn shut, but they also constantly hear crying?
She's like,
the girl is filthy and her mouth is literally rotting and her eyes are watery and she's shaking. And Sawyer tries to go towards her to comfort her. And she introduces herself and they were like asking her yes and no questions. She's definitely Sylvester's daughter. She's not Trinity, but she is Casey.
What happened to the wife?
While Sawyer was trying to get use of the radio, all they get back was static, but they hear a crack from the front door and Casey's eyes go wide, basically signaling that Sylvester's back. Enzo kisses her and tells her that he's going to go down there and that he is not going to risk the life of Sawyer. So he's like, you stay here, try to get the radio signal while I go deal with Sylvester. Sawyer continues to make stress calls. And as the minutes tick by, she just feels more and more dread. She sees like Casey move in the background and she feels the energy shift. And she definitely feels like Casey's not on their side.
I feel bad for Casey, but I'm also terrified of her.
Yeah,
she's had a rough life. Before you can figure out what Casey's intentions are, there's a loud boom, like a gunshot. And it sounded like Casey screamed with her mouth shut. And then then Casey went charging towards Sawyer. She ducked out of the way and was able to run straight down the stairs and dipped right into the living room.
Get away from me with your so shut, nasty ass mouth.
She reached the door and there was Sylvester sitting on the couch with his shotgun in his lap, and she's immediately trying to look for Enzo. He points behind her and tells her that Casey was excited to keep her. He says that they would have been friends, and she was like, if they would have been friends, why did Casey lead us to the beacon? Why was she trying to help us? And in that moment, you could see like pure rage in Sylvester's eyes, and you could see how crazy he actually is. He told her that Casey gets lonely sometimes and she doesn't really like being here. She feels a finger slide across her back and it's Casey, and she can't really distinguish what she was drawing. She feels her trace L-A-R, and I don't really get that.
I want to say it might have been liar. L-I-A-R, liar. Yeah.
She's like, well, why did you sew her mouth shut? And he tells her that he did it because he was getting a supply drop off, and she started screaming, so he had to cut out her tongue. And then after he cut out her tongue, she was still like making noises and stuff, so he had to sew her mouth shut. He tries insinuating that he already got rid of Enzo, so she should basically just give up and stop fighting. And she's thinking about her time with Kev and how she doesn't want to live in another prison. She doesn't want to be a shell of herself, so hollow she wants to live. So she kicks Sylvester right in the dick. She runs towards the kitchen screaming Enzo's name, and she grabs knives from the kitchen. And Casey stalks in after her, and she's pleading with her not to come any closer because she doesn't want to hurt her. And she tries telling her that Sylvester's just abusing and torturing her, that he doesn't actually love her. When Sylvester gets to his feet, he charges towards them in the kitchen, and he grabs Casey's hair, and he just throws her to the side. He tries punching Sawyer, and she dodges the first one, and then he tries again and she stabs him in the stomach, but she doesn't like hit anything vital. And then he grabs her wrist and he like literally snaps it in half.
Yeah, he breaks her arm,
and then he tells her that that was really stupid. This time when he punches her, it sticks, and then she basically like blacks out.
This stressed me out.
Yeah.
How things played out for Enzo was he gets to the bottom of the stairs and he found that the cellar's door was open. So he cautiously approached the cellar door. The front door creaked open and a shot went off behind him. And the bullet from that shot hit his gun and knocked it off. And Sylvester picked up that gun from behind him somehow and hit him square in the face with the butt of his gun, and it knocked him right out. He wakes up under the floorboard in the kitchen. So there's like another cellar, and it's an underground man-made cemetery that has like a cot, a bed, a pillow. There's some stored food that he could tell Casey must have spent some time there during the day. And there's a gas lantern and a shovel, some bottled waters, and decomposing bodies. He climbs up the ladder a little bit and is able to hear Sylvester talk to Casey and tells her that she has to pay for leading them to the radio. And he's like, I cannot stay here any longer. I have to do something. So I'm basically going to burn my way out. He goes to the first aid kit. He tears up some of the blanket, dips it in alcohol, grabs a gas lantern and shoves it up in the floorboards and basically just lights the bitch on fire. And he knew that if Enzo lost Raven Isle, that he would lose everything. So Enzo charged towards Sylvester, knocking him over, and he punched him so hard that he was able to rip the gun from his hold and smash the butt into his face, knocking him out cold.
Yeah.
But he has no idea where Sawyer is. She's not in their bedroom, so he checked Sylvester's room next, and she's sitting on his bed, chained to it, with duct tape over her mouth, crying. He gets his girl out of that room, and they go back downstairs and find the fire is out and Sylvester is no longer there. But he is charging towards them with a fucking hammer in his hand, ready to strike.
But Enzo has the gun?
Yes. Okay. But they get in a little tussle, but Casey like throws herself on Enzo, and Sylvester is able to take the gun.
No.
Right as he lifts it, Sawyer takes the chains and puts it over Sylvester's throat and wraps it around him and pulls him back with all of her might, and he drops the gun. Meanwhile, Enzo's working on getting Casey off of him. There's just like a whole fight going on right now.
Yeah, I'm so stressed out.
Sylvester has the gun and he went to go shoot Enzo, and Casey last minute pushes him to the side, and Sylvester shoots Casey, and he screams, no! But Enzo won't let him anywhere near her. While Casey's dying, Enzo's holding her, just whispering what a sweet girl she is and that she's an angel. And although she can't smile, he can see the peace in her eyes, and he just takes her hand and she puts her hand on his cheek and she's comforting him. Sylvester tries to blame Enzo, saying that all of this is all of his fault, and Enzo's not having it. So he grabs the barrel of the shotgun and he turns the stove on high and waits for it to warm up, and then kicks Sylvester in the stomach, holding him down, and just puts the barrel of the shotgun into his chest. With the metal still hot, he takes it from his chest to the hollow of his throat and he sinks it into his throat, killing him. Oh, fizzle, yeah.
Sizzle, sizzle. Yeah, that's disgusting, but it's like, yeah.
That is brutal. He's definitely dead now, and they hear a transmission back on the radio saying that they heard their call for help. He gets an idea, and he says that they don't have to go anywhere. If she wants to live free for the rest of her life, that she needs to kill Sawyer Bennett. Casey has no real identity outside of Raven Isle. So when the authorities come, she has to pretend that she's Trinity and that Sawyer Bennett was taken hostage and died. So basically, she's Trinity and Sawyer Bennett died.
Wait, so she's not Casey?
No, because Casey's body's there, but Trinity's body is, like, badly decomposed in the cell.
Okay. That makes more sense.
The next morning, the Coast Guard is coming, and they're standing in the water waiting, and she has a letter in her hand, and it's the sole evidence that Sawyer Bennett lived and died on Raven Isle. They get to the hospital first and get checked out, and Sawyer has a cast on her broken arm. Then they get questioned, and Sawyer's actually crying real tears because she does feel like a part of her is dying, and it's like an overwhelming grief for her. She makes up a story about how she went through her dad's things and found a letter from Sawyer Bennett. The letter said the first time she lied was when she was in front of her brother with her parents on either side of her apologizing for her accusations. After that, she got very good at telling lies. They have a much needed shower with real water pressure and spend some quality time together, and then they start passionately making out. Sawyer wasn't ready to get back on the boat yet, so they're taking a helicopter over to his research center. They get there and they're met with a pissed off but relieved Troy, and Enzo introduces him to his girlfriend, Sawyer. She stares at him, panicking because Sawyer's supposed to be dead, but Enzo is not worried because Troy is his best friend and he trusts him with his life, and now Sawyer's too. She calls Enzo a stronzo, which means asshole in Italian, and Troy immediately takes to her and they get along great. It's 1 month later and they're still freaking like it's the first time they've ever touched. Her name has officially been changed to Sawyer Vitale. They're not married, but Enzo said marriage is just a piece of paper. The last name is permanent. She sees Simon at the bus stop and he's doing a once over, noticing all of her changes. He tells her that he believes it's time for another tattoo. 3.5 months ago, she just got her first one, and now she's a completely different person. She wants to live now. She decided that she wants to get a cactus. They're strong, resilient, and survive under extreme conditions, and they don't harm a fly unless you fuck with them. She decides to get it on her wrist, the one that was previously broken by Sylvester. Enzo comes up, and he's like staring at them, and Simon asks him if he's going to sit down for a tattoo, if he's going to keep staring at him like a dead fish. So he decides to sit down, and he gets a shark tattoo fitting right in. It's the epilogue, it's 2 years later, and they're sitting in a shark cage, and Enzo is fucking her in the water.
Thrilling.
I don't want seawater in my coochie.
No.
No.
That sounds awful.
You're going to get a UT.
A UT.
Let me hear you say it, Sawyer. I want to hear how much of a slut you are for my cock, and I want to hear you beg to come around it.
She tells him that she's a slut for his cock as a shark comes up and bites the cage they're in, and he tells her it wasn't enough.
Please, please let me come around your cock, I rush out, yelping when the shark bashes against it again. Good girl, he praises, grinning wildly. He's fucking unhinged, but God, he feels so good. Now let me hear you say you love me. I love you, I breathe hurriedly, and I love when you make me come. Both dimples appear while his free hand slides up my throat, squeezing firmly as pleasure invades every cell in my body. With each thrust, his grip tightens until my vision blackens and I can feel my pulse throughout my skull. He grows and quickens his pace while another shark bashes into the cage, sending it flying into the boat. I choke on a scream, my eyes wide as I stare at the man forcing my body into submission. I was wrong. The real predator is already inside the cage and I'm trapped right between his teeth. I told you my love was going to hurt like hell, so tell me, Bella Ladra, does it hurt?
And he pulls out of her and gets her out of the cage and water and into the boat. He brought her out to the water at sunset and slid the ring on her finger without asking. He doesn't do heartfelt speeches, but he did worship her all night long. 3 days later, they eloped with Troy and Simon as their witnesses to spend forever together. The end.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I like this one. I liked it a lot.
It's kind of spooky.
I know. It's like spooky spicy. I think I give this one a 4.5.
Slay. And do you think Enzo is sexy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is sexy. Mm-hmm. A little mean.
Yeah. It would sexy. Make you cry, but
100%.
Sexy.
I'd be sobbing constantly.
And would you trade places with Sawyer?
No, God no.
No. Sounds very scary, frightening.
Yeah.
And next week, we're telling Riley all about Hitched by Lauren Beale. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. And I'm already calling it. This is a 5-star Jenna read.
Oh my God.
It's a 5-star Jenna read for sure.
I mean, it does say it's a dark romance, a dark hitchhiker romance. I think this girl is going to have a dark past. Not like she's the bad girl, but some bad things have happened to her. And she's hitchhiking for some reason. We don't know. And this bad boy picks her up. And they get into some trouble, but they have this new love and he'll do whatever he can for her.
Okay.
You're actually pretty close.
Yeah.
There were some key points that were off, but you were pretty close.
You're getting really good at this.
You are. Too good. I'm not looking them up.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten for early access ad-free episodes. And at the second tier, you have access to a podcast of unfortunate events where Riley and I will be doing a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Woo!
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.